Number 7. Purusha Shukta confirmed. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vikramo Bhurbhuvasvascha.
Vikramo Bhurbhuvasvascha.
Chemasya Sharanashyacha. Sarva Kama Varasyapi. Harishcharana Aspadam. Vikrama. Forward steps. Bhubhuva. Of the lower and upper planets. Sva. As well as of heaven. Cha. Also. Chaimashya. Of protection of all that we have, Shavamashya, of fearlessness, Sha, also Sarvakama, all that we need, Varashya, of all benedictions, Api, exactly, Hare. Of the Lord, Charanaha, the lotus feet, Aspadam, shelter. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thus, the forward steps of the Lord are the shelter for the upper, lower, and heavenly planets, as well as for all that we need. His lotus feet serve as protection from all kinds of fear. Purport. For absolute protection from all sorts of fear, as well as for all our needs of life, we must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not only in this planet, but also in all the upper, lower, and heavenly planets. This absolute dependence on the lotus feet of the Lord is called pure devotional service, and it is directly hinted at within this passage. No one should have any kind of doubt in this matter, nor should one be inclined to seek the help of any other demigods, because all of them are dependent on Him only. Everyone, except the Lord Himself, is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Even the all-pervading super soul is also dependent on the supreme aspect of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Well, this is really good news. Very, very good news. Because this material world is a pretty scary place. Padam padam yad padam nate sham. Danger at every step in this place. Just getting on the highway, you're risking your life every day, and get out on the freeway, going up and down. So many accidents, people are killed every day. People die just walking up and down the stairs. They trip, and they hit their head, boom. So many things can happen. It's a very dangerous place. And there's the fear of terrorists, the fear of economic collapse, the fear of drought, so many anxiety. What to speak of old age, disease, and death, which is coming closer with every tick of the clock. Each one of us are moving to old age, disease, and death. It's scary. It's a very scary thing. Because we're identified with these material bodies, you see. We're thinking, this is me. Here I am. You see? That's the problem. We keep identifying, misidentifying with this blood and flesh. Therefore, we must be fearful. As long as we identify with blood and flesh, we must be afraid. As long as we foolishly think, this is me. But if one can actually come to the point of what is known as Krishna consciousness, you see, understanding one's actual identity as a spiritual being, aham brahmasmi, and the supreme spiritual being, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Lord of all that be, if one can come to this position, you see, then he becomes abhay, fearless, abhay chadam, he becomes abhay chadam, one who is fearless, having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So Prabhupada is making it crystal clear here, don't think of any shelter except for Krishna. Don't think of demigods, don't even think of the super soul as a shelter. Because even the super soul is dependent on the supreme aspect of Bhagavan. So don't mess around with this thing and that thing. Simply, completely take shelter of Krishna himself, the original supreme personality of Godhead. That's the point. Prabhupada clearly states no one should have any kind of doubt in this matter. But he told us in Los Angeles, he said, Krishna lived in Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. That means doubt. You see, we have these doubts lingering in the brain, therefore we're in anxiety. If we had full faith in Krishna and there wasn't any doubt, we'd be absolutely, completely, perfectly fearless in every situation, no matter what it is. Even if we were facing death at that moment, you see. So the problem is the doubts. How to get rid of these doubts? Arjuna was realizing the inauspiciousness of his position being filled with doubts. Therefore, he addressed Krishna as Madhusudana. Just as you have killed the Madhu demon, please, my dear Madhusudana, you kill these demons of doubts which are afflicting my heart. So this is the how we have to pray to Krishna. That we can become free from these doubts. We can have absolute conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His eternal servant. I have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with this blood and flesh. Nothing. It's just a garment. I'm temporarily wearing this garment until it wears out. And then I'll switch. But to identify the garment, it's a foolish thing. And that's what our modern society is telling you. I mean, it's absolutely insane, this modern day society. You understand this point? It's insane. Because they're telling us that we are these bodies. If I told you now, Prabhu, you must be a good kurta. You be a good kurta. How can you be a kurta? You're not a kurta. But you must be a good kurta. That's your duty in life. You be a good kurta. How can I do that? But you know, you are a kurta. You must be a good kurta. So that's a modern society. You're that body. And you must be a good boy, a good girl. We're trained as little kids, be a good boy, be a good girl, you see. But that's not us. No wonder people are so frustrated nowadays. They take guns and they go on shooting sprees and they kill themselves. People are so frustrated and bewildered because they've been cheated by these rascals. These rascal politicians, these rascal professors, these rascal poets, songwriters, script writers. It's such a bogus, nonsense civilization. Wholesale cheating is going on everywhere. Therefore, we want to make a revolution to bring us, to transform this society, not with bullets, but with education. Our mission is to educate the society. Prabhupada told us about saying this. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. You see, this is our mission. We want to make a revolution on this planet, that everyone should become Krishna conscious. If you have any questions, start writing them down, because in a few minutes I'll ask you to pass the papers forward. So this is a very powerful purport here. The Prabhupada's very, very powerful statement. Another point is that two things: to be free from all fear as well as all of our needs of life. Now, we're not supposed to come to Krishna and say, give me this and give me that. You see, that's... But yet, at the same time, when we take shelter of Him, then everything does come. We do not take shelter of Krishna in exchange for getting some food or getting some money, you know. You might like that song, you know. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. It's not that we approach God like this, you see. Give me this, give me that, you see. But the fact is, if you take shelter of Krishna, He will provide everything. That's a fact. Ananyaschintayantamam yejana prayapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam bahamyaham. That's a fact. If you will take, He says, those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I give them whatever they need, whatever they have, I protect it. So we don't approach Krishna for that. Our mood is, Krishna, you can take it all away. That's how. You can kill me right now if you want. I don't care. I'm your property. You do with me if you want. You can make me a millionaire, make me a pauper in the street. It doesn't matter. Just let me always be absorbed in loving you with my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. You understand these points or not? These points must be clearly understood. Otherwise, the material energy will keep us captured in her grip, and we'll suffer like anything, birth after birth after birth, in this damn nasty place. So we have to be fully convinced of this philosophy. Fully convinced. And Prabhupada's leading the way with these wonderful purports to help us. We have to go deep, deep, deep into these purports. Deeply, deeply, deeply. This absolute dependence on the lotus feet of the Lord is called pure devotional service. Now that's the whole aim of what we're here for in this movement. This is a movement based on pure devotional service. That is not taught in the churches, the synagogue, the mosque, and the temple. They do not teach pure devotional service. They teach this karma kandiya mood, that you pray to God for what you want. I know, I was raised as a Christian kid. And that's how my parents taught me. God is, you approach God to get what you want. Just like when I was a little kid, they said, little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas? I said, well, I'd like some cowboy boots. That's a stupid kid. But I said, okay, then every night you should pray to God that you get cowboy boots for Christmas. And of course they made sure there was cowboy boots under the tree on Christmas morning. But they trained me. That was the training I got from my parents, how to be God conscious. You decide what you want, and you go to God and you ask for it, and you get it. I mean, it's so selfish. It's so self-centered. Not what does God want, what do you want? You see? I was trained to be God conscious, but to keep myself at the center, as God is the one who serves me and gives me what I want. You see, that's the kind of training they're giving. It's completely bogus. It's better than atheism, but it's completely bogus. It's not God-centered, it's self-centered. We have to give up this self-centeredness, reproaching Krishna to get what we want out of Krishna. We have to give up this mentality. We don't need to do that. Does the child have to ask the parents, mother and father, will you feed me today? Does he have to ask the parents for them? How many of you growing up in your homes with your parents ever had to ask your parents, will you feed me today? Did you ever have to ask them, mommy and daddy, please feed me? No, we never had to ask. And our parents didn't have that much opulence as Krishna has. But yet we had full faith. We never had to ask for food. You see? So why are we approaching God? Give me my daily bread. Give me my daily chapatis. Please give me a job. Please give me a raise. Please give me a house. Please give me a wife. Please give me a guitar. Why are we approaching the Lord like this? It's crazy. It's insane. It means we don't trust Him. We don't trust Him. Krishna, I don't really trust you, so I got to give you my list of all the things I need, because I don't trust you to take good care of me. You see? We have to change this mentality. We have to throw off this stupid, idiotic, self-centered mentality and take to the mood of pure devotional service. As Prabhupada directly states, and he says it directly hinted at in this passage. It's interesting, because hinted means indirect, but it's directly hinted at. And Prabhupada's language is really amazing. It's a direct hint. It's nice. And we should not have any kind of doubt. So we have to be very vigilant. We have to be very introspective. We have to analyze. We have to be our own psychoanalysts. To analyze our own thinking. Observe our own thought patterns and see, is there any garbage in there? We're thinking 24 hours a day. The thinking process is going on. So we have to analyze, intelligently analyze and see what's going on in the thinking plateau. What's happening there on the thinking platform? Is it Krishna? Am I thinking according to the scriptures, or am I thinking according to my sense gratification? How am I thinking? Am I thinking purely in line with the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, or are my thoughts something different? Some kind of garbage thoughts of, you know, I, me, and mine makes me feel real fine. Is it? We have to be very honest and brutally honest with ourselves, actually. With others, we can be lenient, you see. But with ourselves, there should be very brutal honesty. To look deep in our hearts and analyze, am I really pure? If we look honestly, we say, no, I'm not really pure. I've got so much contamination. I'm so lusty. I'm so greedy. I'm so angry. I'm envious. I'm all these laziness, these bad qualities. We have to see them and acknowledge them and then diligently work on eradicating them by taking complete shelter of Krishna's name, the ultimate cleanser of the soul. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Pass them forward.
Yeah?
Yeah, modern day science is actually telling us, they have the audacity to tell us we're not even persons, that we're just robots. That's what science is coming to now, this mechanistic science. But the bottom line of their whole mechanistic scientific paradigm is that we're just robots, we're not even people. You just think you're a person. You're not really a person even. But it's absurd. Then who's thinking that he's a person? A machine can't think. Machines don't think. But they're telling us that we're machines. And we're supposed to believe them. We're supposed to give them big money for their research. So anything else? Yeah. Okay. How can one take shelter of Krishna or Krishna's lotus feet in our every task? Going to the job, brushing the teeth, taking showers, deciding between priorities among all the current, future, upcoming services, dealing with devotees. Thank you very much. We have a little magic mantra that really helps. The magic mantra. If you keep that mantra going as much as possible, Prabhupada told some boys from Japan, chant it 24 hours a day. He literally, 24 hours a day, he told them. He said, when you're taking your bath, chant Hare Krishna. When you're riding the bus, chant Hare Krishna. When you're walking down the street, chant Hare Krishna. When you're doing something with your hands, chant Hare Krishna. The fact is, if you'll throw more Maha Mantras into your day, when you don't normally chant, when you throw more, some people, that's offensive, Prabhu, because, you know, you're doing something else and you're chanting in the same. It's not offensive. Your japa should be fully focused on only the name. But during the course of the day, you can chant while you're doing other things. It's not considered an offense that it's inattentive chanting. It's not considered an offense. Because Prabhupada told these boys to do it. So, that helps a lot. It helps bring you back to understand who you are, you see. We have a tendency to forget. It's our natural tendency as conditioned souls, as neophyte devotees, our natural tendency is to come back to bodily consciousness. Every morning we wake up, we're in bodily consciousness. We don't wake up as paramahamsas. It'd be great if we did. But we wake up as mudhas every morning, you see. So the mantra counteracts that tamasic influence. So the more you chant, you get intelligence. How to do everything for Krishna instead of yourself. You understand? So increase your chanting. I actually caught my disciple the other day at the airport. I said, how many rounds are you supposed to chant every day? He said, 16, Guru Maharaj. I said, that's nonsense. At least 16. I caught you, I told him. You're thinking, I got 16 rounds done? Actually, Prabhupada made fun of us sarcastically. With Shruti Kiri in his book, he relates, Prabhupada finished 16 rounds. He said, he did his bees, and I said, now I can do any damn thing I want. I got my 16 rounds done. That's our mood. Now I can do any damn thing I want. I got my rounds out of the way. Yeah, now I can space out and do whatever I want. But no. 16 rounds is just to get you warmed up, to get you in the right mood. That now all day you can be thinking. You can be chanting or meditating on Krishna, you see, praying to Krishna, trying to serve Krishna in the best possible first-class way in everything you do, introspectively analyzing everything you do to see, is this the best I can do for Krishna? So in this way, you know, chanting on your lips, chanting by offering in the mood of chanting by serving Krishna the best possible way at every minute. So in this way, you'll be properly focused. More questions? Okay. If a devotee has got some material desires, how should he approach Krishna? My dear Lord, please free me from these material desires and let my only desire be to serve you. How to dovetail lust and anger with Krishna's desires? Well, lust, you can have some Krishna conscious children. Brahmacharya asked that problem one time. He said, Prabhupada, how can one dovetail with us? Prabhupada said, get married. Anger? We actually preaching, anger is a good thing. To be angry at how much abusive the modern day society has become and to dedicate one's life to defeat the nonsense. That's proper utilization of anger, to be very, very disturbed at so many. I mean, here's something that really agitates my mind. Just like about a year ago, there was a massacre at an elementary school in the U.S. Some crazy guy went to an elementary school with a gun and he shot 25 children dead and a few teachers also. Can you imagine shooting little kids? He went on a shooting rampage in an elementary school, Sandy Hook Elementary, and killed about 25 little children and a few teachers also. So the President of the United States came on, and he was, you know, all like, oh, you know, oh, how horrible this is. And, you know, that's the same president who's authorizing the murder of millions of babies every year through abortion. But it makes me damn angry. The hypocrisy. These rascal leaders. He's authorizing the murder of millions of children every year. He makes a show about 25 children that were shot dead, how bad it was, how bad he feels. It's so damn hypocritical. It makes me very angry. That's why I'm dedicating my life to preaching this Krishna consciousness, you see. Because I want to defeat these rascals. Such people will not be put into office in the future on this planet. I'm very, very disturbed that this nonsense is going on. They're killing the cows, they're killing the babies, they're doing all abominable actions, and they pose as Mr. Do Good, Mr. Be Good. But on the television, people think, oh, he's such a compassionate person. He really cares about those 25 kids that were shot dead. I mean, it just makes me angry like anything. So that's how you can use anger. Therefore, I'm traveling around the globe twice a year, preaching everywhere. Stop your nonsense. Become a pure devotee. You see. That's my request to the whole world. Please, wake up, people on this planet Earth. Give up this foolish, selfish, greedy madness and come out of your stupor of sense gratification. Come to the transcendental platform. Be who you are. Stop being misguided by these rascals, charlatan, so-called leaders. And be who you really are, a spiritual being in quality one with the Lord. So that's how you can use anger in Krishna service. Preach. Take some books. Go out and distribute books. That's a perfect way to channel anger in the Krishna service. Go out and defeat this rascal civilization with Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's teachings. Is it possible to cultivate prema bhava in the material world? Yes, this is the prema bhava movement. We're teaching prema bhava, how to achieve prema bhava. But don't artificially jump. Yes, now I'm prema bhava. Don't be a sahaja who thinks he's on some high level, you see. Prabhupada noted this tendency in our movement. Some devotees wanted to think they're on a high level, that now I'm Raganuga platform. I can just meditate on a particular rasa, you see. Don't artificially jump. I was shocked, one godbrother, in a Sunday feast lecture, he told all the guests and the devotees to pick their rasa. I had to report him to the GBC, and they got on his case. I was shocked. In our movement, somebody's actually preaching this Siddha Pranali stuff, telling everyone, you know, pick your rasa. What would you like? You want to be a gopi? And what would you? You want to be a cowherd boy? Everybody pick out your rasa and then start meditating on it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So it's not that we can jump to some high level. You see. Just understand, I'm a rascal, I'm a fool, therefore I have to follow my spiritual master, I have to follow Srila Prabhupada. And by that loyal, dedicated service, the sadhana bhakti principles, under the guidance of my spiritual master, the temple authorities, Srila Prabhupada's books, by following this wonderful path that Prabhupada is giving, you see, then I will surely achieve prema bhava in due course of time. Okay, let's see what's next. What is the difference between taking shelter of the super soul and taking shelter of Krishna? The super soul is neutral. He plays a neutral role. If you want to rob a bank, the super soul will give you the intelligence how to do it. If you want to, and just like Krishna says, sarvasya saham hridi sannivishto mataksmat sarvam, sarvasya saham hridi sannivishto mataksmat, that verse, he says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So the super soul will give you help, will give you knowledge, that's what you want, he will also give you forgetfulness, if that's what you want. So we are not so innocent in the Super Souls program. We're innocent in going directly to Krishna. And we, how do we go directly to Krishna? Through the external manifestation of the Super Soul, the spiritual master. Why is it said Purusha Shukta in this shloka? It doesn't mention the words Purusha Shukta in the shloka.
It's the title of the chapter.
Oh, the title of the chapter. I haven't studied the whole chapter to answer that question. I don't know. What does it mean by forward steps of the Lord? Vrikkamaha. Always to look in the context. These are all different. It's analyzing different aspects of the Lord. The Lord's lotus feet are certainly the shelter. So why? Here we have moving feet. It's one thing to take shelter of the lotus feet. What if the feet are moving? Here we have forward. The Lord is not walking backwards, that's one thing. He's walking forwards. Generally people walk forwards. So Krishna here is, here we have the forward steps of the Lord. It's interesting question, why not just stationary feet? Why forward steps? It's interesting. I can't answer that right now, but it's an interesting question.
Can I say something? Huh? Forward steps. Forward steps means you don't do sinful activity that Krishna has to give you backward. Go forward towards Krishna. So Krishna comes forward from you.
That's an interesting understanding. Krishna, it's a fact that if you take one step towards Krishna, he will take 10 steps towards you. Interesting point. Okay, you were mentioning in your class that we should not have anxieties in our mind about the necessities of life, as Krishna provides for everyone. But as devotees, we sometimes have anxieties about our services, like someone taking away our service or not giving us enough service, or we're not getting our desired service. How can we handle such anxieties? A pure devotee can do anything and be in complete bliss. The neophyte, it is recommended the neophyte be engaged according to his propensities, what he likes to do for Krishna. And that's recommended for a neophyte. And it's recommended, Prabhupada said, for college students, for example. He said, engage them in doing what they like to do for Krishna. So that's a beginning stage. So how can you go from the beginning stage of being dependent on a certain type of service for being enlivened, it's a liberated stage where you can do anything for Krishna. My recommendation is, if there's some service you don't like to do, volunteer for that. What service would you least like to do? That's what you should volunteer to do. You see, who wants to clean the toilet? Immediately, yes, I'll clean the toilet, you see. So if you take that mood of taking what you would rather not do and volunteering for that, then you can learn to do anything for Krishna and be absolutely blissed out 24 hours a day. You see, then there's no anxiety. Because by doing any service, just like my godbrother Uttama Shloka Prabhu, when he was a young bhakta, that was the service he got, the toilet room. Now in India, that's considered, oh, that's not for Brahmins, that's for the dirty. You hire somebody. You don't even touch your own toilet. You bring in some low class, what do they call them? Bungi?
Yeah.
Bungi? You bring in a bungi. You don't even clean your own toilet. A gentleman would never clean a toilet. You have to bring in a bungi to do that. You see? But that's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, you can do anything with Krishna. So the best thing is volunteer to do service that you don't like to do. And you'll learn how to love it by doing it. And then you can do anything with Krishna. And you're never in any anxiety. They'll give me some service I don't want to do. Oh, no. Now you say, wow. Please give me more service that I don't want to do. I said, So that's the way to be free of anxiety. Don't be a conditional devotee that if you ask me to give Bhagavatam, I'm fired up. If you ask me to hear the class, I'm going to sit in the back and sleep. Well, Krishna provides for everyone, and he promises to especially protect and provide the devotees. When Krishna is taking care of all of our needs, where does endeavor fit in? We endeavor to please Krishna. That's all we have to worry about. Let me simply endeavor to please Krishna. That's all we have to think about. It's only consideration, how can I please Krishna? How can I please Srila Prabhupada? How can I please my Guru Maharaj? How can I please my temple authorities? That's all. How can I please the devotees? You see, that's all we have to think. And then even Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then everything shall be added unto you. You see. So just try to please Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas, and then everything will come. Make that your endeavor. It appears if we work harder, we reach higher. Yes, endeavor harder to please Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. That's a fact. You will get more. The more you endeavor to please them, the more you get benefit. How much we should... How much we should rely on Archivigraha form of the Lord in taking decision of our life. Well, I remember I was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj one day in Dallas, and he was taking, I was right with him when he was taking darshan of Radha Kala Chanchi, the beautiful deities in Dallas. And I remember one thing he said, it really impressed me. He said, by taking darshan of the deities, I get intelligence. Tamal is known for being very intelligent devotee, very, very intelligent. And I thought that was a really intelligent statement. He's a super intelligent, everyone knows Tamal is a super intelligent, anyone who worked with him, he's a super, super intelligent person. And so he understood that I get intelligence by taking darshan. So take a very good darshan just to get some good intelligence, to understand who you are. I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. He's my Lord and Master, I have to please Him. Take advantage of the deity worship to understand these are not idols, this is Krishna Himself here. When you bow down, you say, my Lord, now I'm your servant. I'm bowing down on your feet because I'm your servant. Not just some ritual, we're all, okay, now time to bow down, Prabhu. Now get up and bow down again, Prabhu. Not just some ritual. You should go and offer your heart and soul to the deities. When you bow down, now my Lord, I am your servant. Take me. Engage me in every way you like. You have to bow down with your heart also, not just with your body. You have to bow down with your consciousness, you see. And if you do that, wow, you're going to have a good day, I tell you. You're going to have a really blissful day. If you take darshan in the right mood, you're going to have an ecstatic day every day. You'll be bliss and heavy the whole day. In other words, if the Archivigraha form can be used to understand what he wants us to do, according to your purity. Now, the trouble is, as neophytes, we may think, Krishna wants me to do this, but actually, the super soul wants me to do this, but actually it's the rascal mind telling us to do something. Therefore, we have to take guidance from Guru, from Vaishnavas, from Prabhupada's books, so that we know we're actually doing the right thing. Because we're not so advanced that we can receive direct instructions from the Super Soul yet, or from the deities yet. We're not that advanced. There is that position, just like that Sakshi Gopal story, that we don't have time to tell it right now, but I think many of you know that Sakshi Gopal story. It's pretty commonly known. That Brahmana, yeah, he was praying to the Lord, and the Lord actually spoke to him. He said, my dear Lord, this promise was made in your presence, and now there's a great difficulty that they are not keeping their word. It's a great offense against you. So now, my dear Lord, you finally come back with me. you kindly come and bear witness that this promise was made in your presence. He was actually speaking of the deity and asking the deity to leave Vrindavan and come back to his village with him so he could straighten out a problem that was happening in the village. And the deity actually spoke to him. He said, I'm a statue. I can't move. The deity spoke. He said, I'm a statue. How can I walk with you? I can't move anywhere. I'm a statue. The deity spoke to him. And then he said, that Brahman was very intelligent. He said, my dear Lord, if you can talk with me, you can walk with me. And the deity was defeated. Prabhupada said he was defeated by the logic of the Brahmana. So then he agreed, all right, I'll come back with you in the village. But on the condition, if you turn around to see if I'm there or not, I won't go any further beyond that point. But you'll always know I'm behind you because you will hear the tinkling of my ankle bells. So in this way, he walked all the way across India, hearing the tinkle behind him, tinkle, tinkle, ankle bells. Then right as he got near his village, no more tinkle. Oh my God, what happened? I don't hear the tinkle. There was a deity, but no more would he come. But he ran to the village and brought all the villagers up. So yes, you can be directly instructed by the Super Soul. If your heart is pure, even you can be instructed by your Guru Maharaj from within the heart. If your heart is pure, directly receive instructions from your spiritual master. You can directly get instructions from Prabhupada also in your heart. If your heart is pure. But the trouble is, our hearts are full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. They're contaminated like anything. Therefore, we need the books. We need these books. We have to immerse ourselves in these books, see everything through the eyes of the scripture, and then we will know how to live our lives in such a way that they become perfect, living manifestations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how we have to do it. Don't just think, okay, now I'm going to have a mystical experience today in the darshan, and the deity is going to tell me what to do, and I know he told me to do this. And don't speculate. You see? The deity will speak to you when your heart is pure. But right now, we're not pure. So we have to take guidance from Guru, from Vaishnavas, and from Prabhupada's books. And this way we can be properly situated in Krishna consciousness. So I think our time is up, and we thank you all very, very much for coming to Bhagavatam class today. I hope you're enlivened and inspired and enthused. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I have a flower garland to give away. Anyone wants it, come forward. First come, first served.